All right. Welcome back, everyone, for another exciting episode of The Money Seat with your host, Ross Krause. Welcome you here on a beautiful Tuesday afternoon in Seattle. For those just tuning in, I host a weekly radio show here called The Money Seat. I am a certified financial planner where I have guests come on and ask me questions, whether it's through text, whether it's through email, whether it's through phone. And for the first time ever today, live in person. I'm actually very excited because usually I do these things in person. So it's nice to see a face. And for those of you who want to be a guest, call in at 425-373-5527. Again, that's 425-373-5527. And since I know we have a lot to discuss in a little bit of time, let's shoot us over to our guest, Brad. Oh, JD, sorry. And JD can introduce himself.
Yeah, I'm JD K. Winnikin, and I have my own show on Mondays here at 1150 AM KKNW. This show is all about you. Yep, and I'm totally fine, Ross, with being wide open that this is me. I'm bringing my financial life to you, and more than willing to have others learn from what's going on with me and what you can suggest. So yeah. Thanks for having me on. I appreciate it.
Absolutely. For those who were chuckling behind the scenes here, because we had discussed for the last few minutes about using an alias, and then the last second we said, no, let's just do JD, and then brain just right over my house. So,
that's all right. No worries.
So I kind of know this is going to be a little bit of a different format for everyone, because we're more going to get into you, what's going on in your life, your picture, and really why it's so important for you to want to discuss this, not just for you, but for other people listening out there. So
absolutely.
I'd love for you to give me, the audience, a little bit of background about kind of why you're here today and what you're looking to get out of this.
Okay. I think I'm throwing a different kind of challenge your way.
Yes.
So maybe it's a curveball from what you're used to. I'm actually looking for your advice and direction on kind of a larger financial strategy for my entire life.
Okay.
And I am starting from, and yeah, it's that big.
Okay.
And so I'm starting from, I guess, what you could call a baseline of zero, which is better than where I was. Long story short, my listeners know, because I've told the story, about a decade ago, my whole life went sideways and I got divorced. I had a number of financial problems. I switched careers. Everything happened all at once. And it's been a steady process over the last 10 years of just kind of rebuilding everything. And I've done a lot of work in a lot of areas, and my life is going really well. I'm very happy with my life. And I love doing the show every week, like you do, all those things. But the one area I was telling you before, the final frontier of difficulty for me is my financial life.
Yeah.
Because I still have things like credit card debt. I have things in collections. I don't have retirement. That got wiped out in my process. And I'm 47, right? Now, I'm single. Right? So I don't own a home.
But you don't have another person to spend money
but
on.
But I don't have another person to spend money on.
Positive.
Or that's, thank you for that.
Because
I always go, well, I don't have somebody else to help me out. But yeah, I suppose it can go the other way.
Trust me.
Right. Yes. Okay. You got it. So really, it's what I can earn, what I can pay off. And the challenge, of course, is making ends meet. I was in education for a long time, which, as you know, is not super high paying.
Not lucrative, yeah.
No, I've transitioned out into nonprofit leadership and direction, which is better and improving. And so I'm in a good situation there. So I'm in secure employment. I'm certainly making enough money to do things like pay my rent, to pay my basic bills. But it gets shoestringy sometimes.
Yeah.
You know, so what I'm looking for is, on the basis of all those things, it makes me nervous to talk about because there's so much. Sometimes it feels like it's coming at me from every direction, and I don't know in what order I should be addressing things or how to create a grand strategy.
Okay.
So that's it in a nutshell. So we can go anywhere
and
with that.
Yeah, that's a good question. First of all, thank you for being here, because it's very brave to come and admit some of those things. People think it's like a fault if they don't have a lot of net worth or something.
Oh, it's horrible.
Or if they're later in life and they think that it's too late or anything. And I've worked with people who – your situation would be, it's probably unusual that it all happened at once, but those types of things happen over time for most people, whether it's switching jobs or getting a divorce. You know, they might happen over 5 or 10 years and not one time. But those things do happen to most people, and finances are very common to fall along the wayside because you're working on your emotional side, you're working on picking up the pieces, there's other stuff going on in life. It's just not there, and most people don't have the skills or the energy to do that. But starting off is always very difficult, mm-hmm. right? So now that you're like, okay, I'm back. I feel like I'm back in society. I'm like mentally I'm good, right? And then it's like, okay, well, now what? And that's very common. And that's usually why 42 becomes 45, becomes 50, becomes 55.
Right.
Because it's, oh God, there's everything. Like, I have to fix everything, and therefore I fix nothing.
That's exactly it.
And it's funny because it's not just finances, by the way. That's with a lot of things.
It is.
If you go and someone gives you 10 items to do, it's more likely you're going to do zero. But if someone gives you two or three, more likely you're going to get those done. And it's kind of weird. Same thing with finances as well. I have these debts that I have to grow my money, and now I have a new job, and right, what's going on? So the first thing to start with most people is those debts, clearing the debts. So we can't start at zero if you're negative.
Right.
Does that make sense?
Right,
and
it does.
A lot of people want to start, okay, let's start throwing money in the market and investing and growing it. And they haven't tackled the debt side. And now there's a, you know, there's like you have a mortgage and a normal debt side. And then there's a student loan and a credit card. So can I ask you, by debts, do you mean student loans, credit cards?
Yeah, I have student loans. The debts are primarily student loans and credit cards.
Okay.
And credit cards roughly is probably about $17,000.
Okay.
And
I've seen much worse than that. So.
Well, see, this is so encouraging.
Yeah,
thank you.
Much worse.
This is so great. and then student loans is probably about $25,000.
So the good thing is that's very manageable.
That's good.
And most people feel it's not manageable because you isolate it. It's just you. Maybe your friends don't have that, or to be honest, you're not talking about these openly,
right.
So you don't know. So yeah, if you just looked at it, oh my God, $25,000, whew, you know, that's insurmountable. So,
well, and on an education salary once upon
right.
a time, right?
It yeah, was, that's you, that, that's not great. That's
you put
true.
That side by side,
yeah.
It just makes it that much bigger.
Yeah. Right? So the biggest thing we start with is tackling those debts, and it's actually two different ways to tackle them. How we tackle the credit cards is going to be a lot different than student loans.
Okay.
Usually student loans have a forgiveness period, and they might be tied to the government. I don't know, are your private, or are they?
I consolidated them into a private bank.
Okay.
And
that's
and
what I
then
to know.
When COVID hit and I was in the middle of a transition, all that froze up.
It's frozen, right?
So it was interesting. The bank moved it to collections and then moved it back out.
Okay.
So I'm not sure what's happening with that part.
Okay.
But for the most part, those are the numbers at least.
Yeah. And then credit cards. See, credit cards usually one you tackle first because
right.
They don't care. They want you to rack up more debt because that's how they make money. And I'm not going to get into that now. It's a whole other thing. But that's something you want to tackle first, because usually there's a way to work with them to consolidate that as well.
Okay.
And set up some type of payment plan, lower interest rates that are fixed that you could really help manage.
Mm-hmm.
Is that something like, are those straddled between one, two, three credit cards?
Two credit cards. One has
okay.
been closed down.
Okay,
one is
good.
Current, and I'm doing okay on the current one.
Okay.
So like that one's manageable monthly.
Okay.
It's getting that other one hit.
Yeah.
Is the challenge. And so that's going to require, you know, conversations with them and with an agency. Probably.
Yeah. So I've had a few clients who have done this before with, and how we did it is we actually literally worked on like companies who work with you on this, and
you'll
actually see the commercials. Now you have to work with them and find the right reputable ones, but you'll discuss them. They'll actually send a statement. You'll negotiate with them. They'll talk to the credit card company. You have to get it. It's a lot of work, so I usually hold their hand and we do some stuff together.
Sure.
And then by the end, your $17,000 becomes, you know, a fixed payment of $300 a month for 3 years or for 4 years, and then I'm paying this month, every month, for this amount of time. And it's done, and that's done.
Right.
And that's usually a huge relief.
Oh, yeah.
I assume that's something that you would, yeah.
That'd be great.
So that's usually the first steps. Before we even start discussing anything else, that's the first thing to do.
Okay.
And so that would be, okay, let's start there. I come in usually as more of a, like a guide, like someone who's here to hold your hand and help you and make sure I'm also pushing you so you do it, so we don't leave, and then a month go by and you didn't do anything. So part of it is an accountability buddy. Like there's not a lot of stuff I could physically do because
right.
part of it is you, but most people find it helpful that I'm just there as a partner, as someone who's helping me do it, giving me the advice and walking me through it. And then eventually you kind of let the hand go on that and they just, okay, here's the payment. We're good now. Move on to the next.
So you're kind of like an Obi-Wan Kenobi of this kind of
yes.
thing?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah, a financial
the mentor,
Jedi.
The old version?
Yes.
The old Obi-Wan
from
Kenobi?
From the original, yes. A financial Jedi,
there's
yes.
There's got to be a money nickname version of Obi-Wan Kenobi.
But
that sounds great. Whatever.
Yes.
Whatever it is. The whole point is having guidance. Point. Because my thing is, yes, I've known those agencies exist.
Uh-huh.
They can help you with that. I don't know how to figure out which ones are helpful, right, and which ones are not.
And they're not alone, because most people don't have the knowledge or the expertise to filter that out. Mm-hmm. And really the idea is you don't want to go through this alone. It's very hard because no one wants to get taken advantage of. No one wants to scam, right? All this stuff. So, and from their point of view, actually, you tend to get better service if it's you and a financial professional discussing than if you're just doing it on their own.
That makes sense.
They're not likely to take advantage of you, right? They're like, oh, here's blah, blah, blah. Let's make some money off them. If you say, hey, here's my financial advisor, they're going to be like, oh, okay.
Oh, okay, right. Exactly. It's a buffer.
And it's weird, but that's very true. And it's kind of like there's a very not tangible value of all this. Like, you know, mm-hmm, I could give people the tangible value of when I manage your portfolio, right? There's a return. But for this stuff, it's not tangible. It's just the fact that if I'm not here with you, you're probably not going to do it in your own.
And it's hard.
And that's the value. So, yeah, so that's what I would say to start with that, with those two things. Do you have any other debts?
There's some smaller things in collections, a $300 shot here, you know, $50 shot there that I've already identified and know how to pay those off.
Okay, those are, those are smaller.
Those are smaller.
Do you own or rent?
I rent.
You rent? Okay, yeah. Which is actually good in this situation.
Right.
Do you have a car lease?
I have a car that is effectively paid off. I bought it within the family.
Oh, okay.
And so I kind of pay when I can on that.
There's no official thing.
There's
on
no
the
official
books.
Thing. Okay. No official thing on the books.
Okay, so that's very helpful. And then you don't have, I forgot to ask, so you're divorced, but kids or no kids?
No kids.
Okay, so once again, maybe from a whatever life standpoint that could be sad, from a financial point of view, that is a huge positive.
That's good.
Just so you know. Yes.
It's actually okay. I'm all right
okay.
not having kids.
Okay.
Or a spouse. I'm okay.
Okay, good. Because for once in financially, that actually does make it a lot easier, because people who do have kids, I mean, that's hard, because then they have to start making sacrifices.
Right.
Luckily for you, you're just choosing between your needs and your needs only.
Right.
And that actually makes it a lot easier, because then it's like, well, then I'm not going to get the $5 Starbucks cup, or I could cut some stuff out of my budget to make it work.
Yeah.
Cutting someone else's, you know, the kids' food and daycare, it's a lot harder, and I get it.
Absolutely.
Because people care more about their kids than themselves, and mm-hmm, usually it's, so that's a whole thing. So that's good.
Right.
So that's kind of the first road, and that's where we start, usually, depending on how free the other person is and how willing you are to kind of work and meet and kind
of be
involved. It usually takes a few months, and then you mm-hmm feel pretty good about your plan. Honestly, it doesn't take that long.
That's good too.
Yes, it doesn't. It's the starting it, getting the right company, getting the right stuff, gathering some of those documents that I'll have to look over, and then.
Well, and you know, and for me, budgeting is always a challenge as well.
I wouldn't say that's the second step. Let's consider the first one is 1A, and budgeting is 1B, and I'm glad you brought that up. I can't believe we're going to say this on the radio, the B word, budget.
Oh, yeah, budget. I know.
I can't believe you said
you
that.
You are taking some big risks.
I know, but seriously, that is, yeah, you think people avoid paying off their debts.
People avoid budgeting. Yeah,
budgeting. I like it. I have a spreadsheet. I do it all for myself. It's fun. I have a little system and software I use too that helps.
Okay.
If you could link credit cards, all this stuff. So that's something we could actually get more technical for.
Okay.
And I actually say, okay, let's link your credit card. Let's set up some apps that we actually do. And you could track everything on your phone. People tend to get a little too granular. Like, I don't have to know every month how much you're spending on coffee. But I want to know how much you're spending on food and how much you're spending on utilities and your car, and also like vacations or fun stuff
mm-hmm
too. And we just kind of categorize that. We extrapolate that, and then you have a pretty good idea of what's coming in, what's going out,
mm-hmm,
what needs to change, where we could cut off, and freeing up some money.
Right.
So that's goes hand in hand with the debts. I usually do, like I said, 1A and 1B.
Okay.
It's also very hard for, say, hey, let's start throwing money in a 401k and saving money for retirement when you don't know how much you're spending, how much you're saving,
right,
taxes, right, and what's
these
left
are
over.
Like the fun, the 1A and 1B is sort of the fundamentals of getting started.
Yeah.
It's like
walking before you run. People just like to say, okay, let's open up that Schwab account and let's start putting $100 a month in and go.
Man.
And it's like, whoa, right? let's see where you're at first, and let's see how much you should be putting in, all that
mm-hmm
stuff. Sometimes it's because people are excited to start,
mm-hmm,
but also, right, it's just you want to hold off. So that's 1A and 1B, and those are really the ways to go. Have you, I forgot as we were talking to ask you about considering the 401k and stuff. You said you drained your retirement, your various things. Do you have one currently at your work?
No, I do not. That's coming.
Okay.
Eventually. What I have all the accounts in place. They're just sitting there doing nothing. They're ready for
investment. Does offer you a 401k.
I have them separate. I have them just on my own.
Oh, okay.
That I've developed.
Like an IRA?
Yeah, IRA mostly.
Okay. So that's helpful. So your work. So they're there. They're ready to go. That's like step two once you solve 1A and 1B.
Okay.
And to be clear for that, 1A doesn't mean debt's paid off. It means the plan is set up in place and it's starting.
Okay.
Right. We're not waiting 3 years, right? It's just we have to know what that is because we can't start putting money in if we don't know what your debt payments
see. That makes sense.
Yeah.
Okay.
So I'm sorry if I didn't explain that earlier.
No, that's fine because that was actually sort of flipping around the back of my head. This do you do everything in one big chunk? But it makes sense that you have plans in place so you didn't know each month where things are going.
Little chunks because you want to do a little bit more than just pay off the debts, right? But you also don't want to do too much where all of a sudden you have to take that money back because you overexerted yourself and you have more debts. So we have to know what those are, just like the budget. We have to know what it looks like. Most people have a consistent income and expenses. Not everyone does, and we could go through your situation in more in depth later and then figure that out. But basically, once I know all that, then I'm like, great, this money goes here to the 401k. This money goes to the Roth IRA. This money is going to be an investment account, blah, 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 blah. We set all that up, and then we kind of just – it's off and running, right? This bucket, this bucket, this bucket. Money's going here, here, and here, and you just kind of let the debt go down and the assets go up. And all of a sudden, 3 or 5 years go by, and you're like, wow, I'm not negative. I'm positive. I know what's going on. I have a net worth, and it feels like I didn't do much, right?
See, I would feel like a Jedi. If that were happening to me, I feel like I was.
Once it happens, awesome. You're going to feel like it's not that much. Like it was. It's just like a lot of people are close. And once again, in your situation, you have the will to do it.
Yeah.
A lot of people who don't want to do it, then yeah, none of this is going to get done. But if you actually want to fix your problems, if you want to kind of improve your situation, you're like 90% there. But the problem is the 10% is actually really difficult and it's hard.
Yeah.
And it's bigger than you'd think. But once that happens, you're going to be like, wow, why wasn't I doing this earlier? And wow, this is so easy now.
Well, and you know what it feels like? You know, you're right. Some of the, when you said at the top of the show, you know, when you're rebuilding your life, you have all these other pieces you put in place. You have the emotional work, you have, you know, logistics of life, all those things. What it feels like now is, you know, how people feel, I think, when they're doing a puzzle. And there are 1,000, it's 1,000 pieces.
Boy, I hate puzzles.
And I know, I do too. Yeah. But they've done 900 pieces. Uh-huh. And so you know there's 100 left. It's still a lot, but you know you're almost there.
Uh-huh.
What the hurdle for me has been, because money is such a constant concern.
Yeah.
Like you said, it freezes me in place. But yeah, I'm ready for it because I want to bring everything else in line. It's the one area for me that still feels incongruent.
Yeah. And it's very common too, because just like with the debt stuff, a lot of people don't know who to find or who to trust or where to go to. For my industry, it's very odd. Historically, and how most of it works is that people are compensated for managing money.
Right.
So people in your situation, and there are millions of people, whether it's the debt or whatever's going on in life, who don't have those assets to manage, they either fall through the cracks, they don't get the advice, or they feel that who's going to help them or they're going to be second rate. So I don't want to, you know, say I'm second rate, but I work with people in a way where that isn't an issue. For instance, like a subscription model, just to give my clients an idea, like I'll charge someone $50 a month to work on all these little things and kind of be your financial Jedi.
Right.
Where it doesn't matter if you have $1 million or $0 or negative $1 million, you need help with stuff, and I'm here to help you, whether you invest on your own, whether whatever it is, you just need some help with like a guidance type of thing.
That's great.
And so that's why you're feeling that way, because our industry is set up to ignore people like you.
Sure feels that way sometimes.
Well, it's because you're right.
Okay,
it is.
Good.
Yeah. It feels that way because it is. And it's part of why I started doing the show. It's part of why I changed my model. A lot of it was designed for a little bit younger people who came out of college and were making money and didn't know what to do then. But it's a similar concept. People who are just newer to, like, okay, I want to start. I have to start this. I have to start growing wealth because, as we all know, the government's not going to take care of you,
mm-hmm.
right? We're responsible for ourselves, especially mm-hmm. if you don't have rich family members or spouses
right.
or a sugar mama or a sugar daddy or mm-hmm. whatever's life, which is fine if you do, but if you don't, you join the rest of us. And we
the
have
millions
to,
of us.
Right. And so I know how many people are out there who need that help and setting up in a way where it kind of works as well. So that's kind of what I'm excited for. In the last few minutes of time, I want to switch gears because I'm curious about, let's say we set everything up
mm-hmm.
and let's say you have a great plan going
mm-hmm.
and let's say you could start doing some of the things you want to do because money unfortunately holds people back.
Right.
Have you thought about how that looks? Have you thought about 15, 20 years down the road about what you want, where you want to be? It could be bigger picture stuff.
Yeah.
And I'm very curious what that is. If you feel free sharing
with
the audience.
Oh, yeah. I mean, well, for me, I don't know. I think some of the modeling in my own mind has changed over time because I once had the same kind of grandiose ideas, but also and it was about stuff, right? For me, much more so now, maybe it's part age, maybe it's part experience. I feel like I've been kind of playing with house money the last 10 years because it was bad. Right. It was bad. And if I can survive that, I can certainly survive this. And so what's happened now, it's become more about kind of peace of mind, stability, and options.
Okay.
I want to be able to have the means to have options. I don't feel a huge overwhelming need necessarily to buy a home and keep a home.
Okay.
I don't necessarily feel, like I said, I'm okay not having kids. Right. I'm comfortable being single. If I meet someone, great. I want to have options. I want to be able to do the things I like to do. I like to go places and write about them.
Okay.
I'd like to not be worried about if something comes down the line, how am I going to take care of
right.
myself? You know, that's mainly what it is. Now, push comes to shove, you know, the dream I have would be to publish the novel I wrote, do well with that, be able to write full time with all
awesome.
Of those things. So I work on that. At the same time, the big picture is more about that peace of mind and feeling the congruence of that my financial approach is sane, like the rest of my life feels much more sane.
And it's hard to feel that you can do all those things if you don't feel that you have the financial things under control.
Yeah, totally.
That's true for people who have lots of money and who have lots of wealth because they might be spending a lot more. Like you might need a lot less, but it's true of that. If you don't have that under control, and the unfortunate thing is, when we want to do things in life as we get older, unless we're even volunteering, but most of the time the things we want to do just cost money.
It costs money.
Especially
so
the fun stuff.
It does, right.
Yeah.
So it does feel like a dream killer. When you don't feel comfortable, or when I don't feel comfortable.
Yes, it's very
true. Like a dream killer. And as I've laid out for your listeners here, I mean, you know, pick an area of my life, it's me.
Mm-hmm.
It's just me. So... And other areas, I feel like I have more expertise now and more help. This is the last year I haven't had any help, so that's why you're watching me from across the table here, smiling widely.
That's good.
Because this is so beyond needed.
And I'm glad you said that because that is what I think my job in our industry is. It isn't to say, Ross, here's X amount of money, and I want you to earn 7% a year on it. And once again, there's algorithms and internet that can do that. I think the idea is, Ross, I don't have this under control. I want you to help me get it under control, and I want to make sure that there's lots of stresses in life. I don't want money to be one of them, and I don't think it should be. And so my idea is to make sure that finances and money aren't your stresses, that it's if you were married, it's your spouse or your kids or you're not getting your book published or writer's block or stuff that's you under your control. And a lot of people, once again, money shouldn't be a stress, and if it is, that's what my job's supposed to be, to help you do. So in the last kind of minute we have here, hopefully, by the way, we've talked a little bit, JD, me and I before this, that for this particular type of subject and we're working on, it'd be great to have you come back in
Love
a quarter
mm-hmm.
and give us some update on this about how you feel. It's not necessarily Ross got me, we're $10,000 better in debt. I mean,
right.
if you want to share that, that'd be great. But it's this is now how I feel.
Mm-hmm.
On a scale of 0 to 10, this is kind of where I'm going. This is what's changed. I now have more, specific goals to do. So I'd love to bring you back sometime, in 3-4 months from now.
Absolutely. Anytime. And that would be wonderful. And may the force bless you for what you do. Cause that is so needed. And, like you said, it's real easy to feel left behind in this whole situation. So it feels good to be taking these steps. So anytime, and whatever you need, anytime, I'm willing to talk to you.
Awesome. That's fantastic. Anyone out there, too, who's in a similar situation, but first of all, you're not alone. JD just shared him, and thank you very much. I know that takes a lot of courage to do, and there's a lot of other people in those situations who maybe don't feel like they can. They feel like, you know, I don't know, losers isn't a right word, but they feel somehow that they're like inferior or something wrong.
Yeah.
Right.
That's what you tell yourself.
And I promise you, you're not. You come in, you do something like this, you work with me or plenty of people like me who actually want to help you and not just take your money and have an increase in life, an increase of happiness and stress. So in the last few minutes, once again, I'm Ross Krause. Thank you very much for being here. I forgot to say, in the 2 minutes we have left, my website finally came up. I've been developing a website for like 4 months.
Oh, wow. Congratulations.
Yeah. So it's rosskrause.com, RossKrause. You could listen to the podcasts I've had. You could ask me a question about the show. You could be a guest. You could be a sponsor. That'd be awesome. And you could really learn a little bit more about me, what I do, how I help people as well. And feel free to always call in at 425-373-5527. Again, this is Ross Krause here with JD. Just kind of helping regular people who wake up in sweats, nightmare sweats. I'm picturing you wake up to sweats thinking about.
I just kind of curl up in a ball,
yeah.
Literally or metaphorically, one of the two. But yeah, this is so helpful. I can actually feel the difference in talking about it and talking to somebody who knows what to do.
Yeah.
So it's huge. So
and,
thanks.
And the thing with this is, while I know you do feel better now, lastly, before we go, the frustrating stuff about this industry and what we do and this stuff is it's not an immediate gratification thing. Like, even if you if you're overweight and you want to get in shape, that's something that can happen in a few months if you really work hard for it. This stuff takes years to really see a huge thing, and so it's also a lot harder for people to stay that disciplined and stay that stuff.
Well, I've done it in other things before.
Perfect.
So I can do it here.
Yeah, as long as you have that long term, I like to caution people that don't expect this get rich quick thing.
Makes sense.
As well. So anyways, looks like we're running out of time here. Thanks again. Hope you had a good time.
I had a great time. Thank you so much.
It was good to know you.
Yeah.
I can't wait for a few months to have you come back on and share what you've learned.
I'm excited, Ross.
Thanks so much. And thanks for listening, everyone, for another episode of The Money Seat. And until next week, I'll see you then. This is Ross Krause signing off.